All right, so we are cracking open The Republic today, one of the most argued over books in all of human history. And the question I want our listener to sit with is this: is the just life actually the happiest life? Because that question sounds almost quaint until you realize it might be the most dangerous idea ever put to paper.
Dangerous is exactly the right word, because Plato's answer forces a confrontation most people spend their whole lives avoiding. The book builds a case that everything we think we know about fairness, power, and self-interest is built on a foundation that doesn't hold.
And who wrote this? Who do we have to thank or blame for 2,500 years of philosophers losing sleep?
Plato. And here is the fact that stops people cold. Plato taught Aristotle, who then became Alexander the Great's personal tutor. One teacher, one student, one student's student, and that chain reshaped the ancient world.
So where does the book even begin? Because I think our listener might expect some grand philosophical throne room. And instead, Plato opens at a port.
Exactly, the Piraeus, Athens's commercial harbor. It's a place of social mixing, foreign traders, foreign gods. Socrates has just attended a festival for a Thracian goddess. Plato is signaling from the first page, justice is not an abstract puzzle. It lives down here, in the messy world.
And then someone physically blocks Socrates from leaving. That detail struck me. Force versus persuasion, right at the start.
It's not accidental. Polemarchus and his friends intercept Socrates and insist he stay. The author frames it as a small comic standoff, but it quietly announces one of the book's deepest tensions. Can reason ever win against raw power?
So the first real definition of justice comes from Cephalus, a wealthy old merchant. And his answer is basically, pay your debts, tell the truth. Our listener might think, well, that sounds reasonable enough.
It does, until Socrates produces one counterexample that collapses it entirely. If a friend lends you a weapon and then goes mad, returning it is technically owed, but it is not just. No simple rule survives contact with a hard case. Cephalus laughs and walks out of the conversation.
He literally leaves his son to clean up the mess.
He does, and Polemarchus steps in with a more refined version, drawn from the poet Simonides. Justice means giving each person what they are owed, doing good to friends, harm to enemies. It sounds tougher, more realistic.
But Socrates dismantles that too. How?
Through craft analogies. A doctor's skill makes patients healthier. A musician's skill makes music better. So what does justice, as a skill, actually produce? And then the killer move. Harming an enemy makes that person worse as a human being, the way harming a horse makes it a worse horse. A truly just person, by that logic, harms no one.
Wait, so not harm your enemies, but harm no one at all?
That's where the argument lands, and it's genuinely radical. It means the folk morality Polemarchus is defending, the loyalty code of ancient Athens, is internally incoherent.
Then Thrasymachus explodes into the room, and his thesis is the one that I think our listener will find hardest to shake. Justice is just whatever the powerful say it is.
It's the most honest cynicism in the book. Thrasymachus argues that rulers craft laws to serve their own interests and call obedience to those laws justice. On his account, justice isn't a virtue, it's an ideological tool the strong use to keep the weak compliant.
And Plato can't just wave that away. That's a real observation about how power works.
That's a fair point, and the book doesn't pretend otherwise. Socrates presses back by noting that rulers sometimes err about their own interests. If subjects must follow whatever rulers decree, they'd sometimes act against the ruler's actual advantage. Thrasymachus counters that a true ruler, strictly defined, doesn't make mistakes, like a craftsman who, precisely understood, doesn't err in their craft.
So not a real ruler, but an ideal one. That feels like a dodge.
It does shift the ground. But Socrates uses it to open a deeper question. Does any genuine skill serve the practitioner? Or does it serve those the skill is practiced on? A doctor serves the patient. A shepherd, Plato argues, serves the flock. Every true craft aims at the good of its subject.
So for our listener, Thrasymachus isn't defeated. He's the philosophical antagonist the entire Republic is built to answer.
Precisely. And Plato wrote all of this in the shadow of real catastrophe. Athens had lost the Peloponnesian War, democracy had collapsed in confidence, and Socrates had been executed by the city he loved. The question of justice wasn't academic, it was existential. That's why this book still has teeth.